So we have to learn, I think, Ches Amud Aleph to Amud Beis, 8A to 8B. And most of it is just going to be just learning the Gemara itself. Number one, because I don't know about you, but it's been 3 weeks since we did this, and I needed to get reoriented. But number two, because this is all one long flow of Gemara. We're coming out of the discussion about Kisui Hadam, right? Using either ash to cover the blood or using dirt that was designated that you had in the house to cover the blood. So previously, we had asked what circumstances qualify in order to make materials muchan, to make them ready for this purpose. And Rabbi Yehuda had said, quoting Rav, this was on Ches Amud Aleph, that the ash from an oven works only if the fire started before Yom Tov. Right? That was the discussion, that otherwise, you know, how could you have had this in mind before Yom Tov? Or maybe it's still hot enough to be used to roast an egg. Fine. The second circumstance brought was dirt, where a person brought dirt from his yard into his home to use for whatever purpose is around. And we said it's not batel to the floor of his house, and therefore not muhan, but instead it is usable. And that brings us to a challenge regarding this multi-purpose dirt that you have in the house, from the case of what is either pronounced koi or kvi. I've heard people say both. I mean, koi is the standard. It does not mean goldfish. Rather, it refers to a creature which... It refers to a creature which may be a chaya, may be a behema. Because remember that kisui hanam, this law of covering the blood, only applies to chaya and oaf, birds and beasts. It does not refer to behema, to a domesticated animal. And therefore, if I shecht a koi, I don't know whether I'm chayav to do kisui hadam or not. Now, if it's during the week, so what's the big deal? Take some dirt and cover the blood and you're done. Maybe don't make a bracha because of a sapik, but that's about it. But what am I going to do now in this Yom Tov situation? That's our problem. So Meisvin, the Gemara challenges the statement that we made about using the multi-purpose dirt that's found in your house from the following. We've learned. It's a Mishnah in Bikurim. The Mishnah in Bikurim is part of a parak that deals with in-between cases. So it talks about tumtum and androgynous and things like that. So, koi, ein shochten oso v'yom tov. You're not allowed to shecht a koi on yom tov for your yantif meal because of the doubt you will create about whether to do kisui hadam or not. And let's say somebody did already shecht it, so the rule is going to be that you do not do kisui hadam, because maybe it doesn't require kisui hadam, and therefore you're moving the dirt for no halachic purpose.
Is it naseh or both?
Which?
Covering the blood.
Right, so we generally treat it as naseh. Right, we talked about that in terms of the question of what have you violated if you didn't do kisui hadam? Did it disqualify anything in the shechita? Uh-huh. The answer was no. Uh-huh. Right. So the
is that enough of a reason not to shech a koi because you can't cover the blood if it's not asay?
Why not?
Because so you're ever an asay, not ever an alisasay.
Well, why put yourself in that situation? And we're going to see more about that coming up. So we'll get to that. That will figure directly into this discussion. So the Gemara quotes this. Remember, the Gemara doesn't care about the koi. This is just we're just quoting this as part of our discussion about multi-purpose earth. So we have a Mishnah that says, "Don't shecht the koi, and if you did, don't do kisui hadam." End of quote. But he says, "I don't understand." If we really believe that when you have dirt around the house that was brought in as multi-purpose dirt, you're able to use it for kisui hadam, then luchsiyai k'dir Rabbi Yehuda, then cover it as Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was the author of the view about this multi-purpose earth. In other words, you're telling me there's something wrong with me moving this dirt for the sake of kisui hadam, if maybe it doesn't really require kisui hadam. But if Rabbi Yehuda is right, that when I bring a box of earth into the house and I dump it out here, that it can be used for any purpose doesn't have to mean mitzvah purpose. Right? Let's say I decided I wanted to cover something having nothing to do with mitzvahs. I'd be allowed to do that. So that's our basic challenge to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, you told me that the dirt that I dump on the floor of my house is available for use, then why am I not supposed to use it when I shecht the koi? To which the Gemara is going to give you an obvious answer in a moment. But that's the question. To which the Gemara takes an extra line in order to give us the answer. The Gemara says, well, according to your logic in asking this question of why not use the multipurpose earth, I could ask the same question regarding the previous Gemara, which said you can use ashes from an oven. So why not tell me to use ashes from an oven for covering this? Oh, bedek your nose, or go back to our Mishnah, which talked about the spade that was already stuck into the ground. Why aren't you telling me to use that? The answer is, why aren't you telling me to use those? Ella delesle. The answer is, because we're talking about a case where those aren't around. Right? The case of the koi that the Mishnah said, don't shecht it, and if you did shecht, don't cover it, is we don't have a spade stuck in the ground. We don't have ash from an oven. So, achanami delesle. So the answer is also, Rabbi Yehuda will tell you, no one's disagreeing with me, it's just that they're talking about where there is no box of multipurpose earth. Finished. To which the Gemara says, well, in that case, if you're telling me it's where there is none of this stuff around, where this isn't here, then ihaki my area safek. Then why did you specify the koi? You said don't shecht the koi, right? And if you did shecht, don't cover, because you don't have any of the materials that are appropriate. Well, that's not news. The same thing would apply if it wasn't a koi. The same thing would apply if you were talking about shechting a real bona fide creature that required it, a chicken. Is a filu vadei nami lo. Right? Even one that did require it, we would say you're not supposed to, because you have none of the mutter materials. So the Gemara answers, lo mubayah, and obviously that's Beis Hillel, right, back in the Mishnah, because Beis Hillel said, I don't want you shechting without the materials. So the Gemara answers, lo mubayah ka'amar. You're right, but what we're presenting here in the Gemara is what we call a lo mubayah. Now, let me just explain. What the Gemara is about to do, and it's going to occupy the rest of our time tonight, is it's going to give four different answers for why we mentioned koi. We're going to take as a given everything we just said, which is that we're talking about where the materials aren't there, and therefore the rule is not only don't shecht the koi, but don't shecht anything. And if you did shecht, you're not covering. So the question fundamentally that our Gemara is going to want to answer, and is going to provide four answers for, is, so why did you bother to single out koi? What was koi there for? So this is going to be the first of four answers. The answer that we give is, this is what we call a lo mubayah. Lo mubayah, again, literally means don't ask. Meaning, lo mubayah vadai. Don't ask me about a case where it definitely requires kisui hadam.
I'm sure you can.
Exactly. Delalishot. Aval safek. But if I'm dealing with a koi where, I don't know, maybe you don't even require kisui hadam. So, eimam yishum simchas yom delishot. Maybe I would say, as Alan wanted to suggest, simchas yom tov overrides your position of doubt. And you should say, go shecht the koi. Kamash Malan, and it's there to teach me, Simchas Yom Tov will not override it. In other words, it's obvious that we won't allow you to shecht the chicken. What's news is that we don't allow you to shecht the safek for the sake of your Simchas Yom Tov. That's the idea.
Yeah. The question is why, I guess.
But the answer would be, because you have this mitzvah that's incumbent upon you, and granted that it's a suffix, it's still a mitzvah that's incumbent upon you. We don't want you to put yourself, this is what we had talked about with Howie's question.
No, I understand. But once you shecht it, though.
Ah, so that's the next piece.
Okay.
So the Gemara asks, Vaha taba chesam beis. Vaha midiksani seifa, the end of our source, the end of this koi Mishnah said, Vim shchato ein mechasin as domo, that if you did shecht it, you don't do the kisui hadam. So I don't understand that line. The michlal, we jump the word deresha. The michlal debidi islay askinan. The only way you're going to end up saying the sentence, and if you shafted it, you shouldn't cover it, is you must be talking about where you had materials. Right? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, what do you mean, if you shafted it, don't cover? If there are no materials around, you didn't need to tell me that. So what did I need that line for? If I can't cover it when there's a definite chiyuv, I obviously am not supposed to cover it for a suffix. So the Gemara rejects its first approach. the approach that we introduced koi in order to teach me that koi doesn't override, Simchas Yom Tov doesn't override my safek, that's not what it's here for. Rava says, or in some editions Rava, I'll tell you what it's here for. Elam Rava, rather Rava says, we are third line, Efer Kira Muchan Levadai Ve'ein Muchan L'Safek. The answer is that the ash in the oven that we had talked about, that ash is not ready for use for a vadai, I mean for a safek, for a doubt, only for a vadai. Now, when we say muchan here, we don't mean muchan in the muktzah sense. That we're going to get to in the Gemara in a little bit. It's not distinguishing between muktzah and non-muktzah. What it's saying is the ash of the oven is only mutter to be used for this. It is only mutter to be used where you know kisui hadam is required. In the event that kisui hadam might not be required, then it's not mutter for you to use the ash from the oven. Now, don't ask, why should that be so? The Gemara is going to ask, why should that be so? The Gemara says, l'safek maitai malo. Why can't I use it for a safek? Why shouldn't it be mutter? Dika avid guma. Is your concern that you're going to make a hole when you take the ash? Vadainamika avid guma. The same hole is going to apply whether you're covering a chicken or whether you're covering the koi.
But what would the afer and afar be the same thing?
It would be, and in fact it seems like we are interchanging them, because the guma, the whole discussion actually came up in an afar discussion, not even
so
an afer.
So this would support Rabbi Yehuda with his generic afar.
Yeah,
case.
I suppose. So the Gemara says, the vadainamika avid guma. Ella kidde Rabbi Abba. So he says, okay, maybe your reasoning is because of Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba, we saw a while ago, you're not responsible to remember him. Rabbi Abba was the one who said, Malacha shenitzricha legufa. Rabbi Abba said, it's not called a hole if you're taking the stuff out to use, if you're taking the dirt to use. It's only called a hole and digging a hole in halacha if you're digging it for storage purposes. So if your answer is that it's okay for me to use the ash if I'm covering a vadai, because like Rabbi Abba said, it is malach shenitzricha legufa, and it's mekalkel, and that's your justification, hachanami kid the Rabbi Abba. The same thing is going to apply when you're talking about a koi, meaning all your conditions are the same. Whether you're going to say usur, because this is malacha, or mutter, because for some reason it's not, it's going to apply equally to the koi case and to the vadai case. There's no distinction. So the Gemara says, Elas.
The reason for that is because if I don't need the hole for space, I could dig it even if I have no obligation, no mitzvah.
Well, it's a derabanan. It's a derabanan. So the Gemara says, Ela safek maitaima. Rather, what's the reason why I can't do it for the koi? Dilma avid kitisha. He says, you're right. I didn't mean that the dirt's not mutter. There's a special gezerah that's made here for the case of a koi, which is only made for a koi. It's not made for a vadai. What's my gezerah? We don't want you to use the dirt lest you break it up. Kitisha, remember, was the discussion that we had about grinding up the dirt, and we asked whether grinding is relevant when you're dealing with dirt. And this makes it clear that we're no longer dealing with ashes. The ashes had no such discussion. So he says, but then I'll ask you the same question. If you're going to make a gezerah of don't cover the koi because you might come to grind up the dirt, so the same thing should apply if you're dealing with a chicken. Vadainami nigzer mishum kitisha. The same decree should apply if you're dealing with a creature that does, for sure, require kisui hadam. So the Gemara says, Vadai ki ka'ave kitisha asi ase v'dachi es lo sase. He says, yeah. But, and this is a key point, though, it's going to require some expansion. He says, when you're dealing with a vadai, then you know, you have a mitzvah ase to fulfill. Even if you do end up doing kitisha, which we didn't want you to do, but even if you do, you know what? Your ase of kisui hadam overrides the los assay of Kitisha.
That's contrary to what we said before with the spade and the dirt.
Why?
Because we said it had to be soft dirt so that you didn't have to...
Correct. And right now it sounds like he's not concerned. At the moment...
Did you say it was a Rabbana or a Deraisa?
What?
The...
Kitisha? Deraisa. Yeah. The Derabana was digging the hole and it was Machashin Tzricha Lagufa, but the Kitisha would seem to be a Del Raisa. So the Gemara says, even if you do Ketisha, it's not the end of the world. So therefore, we're going to allow you to do this for a Vaday. We just won't allow you to do it for the Koi. And that's why we brought the case of the Koi. When we said you're not supposed to shecht on Yom Tov because you don't have materials or whatever, all of that could have been said for a Vaday. But we mentioned it for the Koi in order to teach that where you're not sure you really have a mitzvah to do, don't put yourself in a position where you might end up violating an Avera and you don't have the safety net of a Seido Chalosa, say. That's the idea that he suggests.
But that's what Morrison asked next, because usually I'll say Barthol, but immediately.
Precisely. That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara says, not so fast. There are rules for how you do this asei do chalos asei thing. And one of the rules is what we call for short, bi'idna. Bi'idna means at the time. And the rule is, asei overrides los asei if, at the moment of your action which violates the los asei, you are simultaneously fulfilling the mitzvah asei. That's the criteria. So he says, Emer de amrinan asi ase v'dachi es los ase. Kigon mila bitsaras. He says, you could say, ase overrides los ase, in a case like mila bitsaras, right? The rule is that you're not allowed to cut off a mark of saras. Hishamer benegat saras, you're not allowed to cut it off. What do you do if someone needs a bris mila, and there's a mark of saras on the spot where he's supposed to have his bris mila? So there we say, ase overrides los ase, because at the moment that you fulfill bris mila, you are violating the los ase. The two go hand in hand, or to say it the other way, at the moment that you're violating Hishamer benegat saras, you are fulfilling bris mila. Inami, alternatively, the other classic case, sudden bitzitzis. Sudden literally means a sheet of some kind, but it's used in the context of tzitzis discussions to mean linen. And what we're talking about is putting wool strings on a linen garment. So he says, there also, de'be'idna de'kama'akar lav, kamokim la'asei. At the moment that you're violating the prohibition, you're wearing shatnez, you are also fulfilling the asei of tzitzis. So that's good. But hacha, in our case of kisui hadam, be'idna de'kama'akar lav, lo mokim asei. At the moment that you violate the los asei by grinding up the dirt, you have not yet fulfilled the mitzvah sasei. So it's not a true asei do chalos sasei.
What if you ground it up right on top of it?
So, right. So Alan anticipates the Gemara's answer. Halo kasha, we're on a roll. The Gemara says, halo kasha, that's no problem. Debahade de katish kamachasei. Right? While he's doing the ketisha, while he's doing the grinding, he is covering the dirt. That was an easy one, the Gemara says. No problem. But the Gemara says, still doesn't work. I want to come back to the Be'idna point, because there are a couple of things to say about that. But the Gemara says we're still not done with Asei Del Chalos Asei, because you have one problem here. Asei Del Chalos Asei means I have an Asei on one side and a Los Asei on the other side. What you have here is actually Asei versus Yom Tov. And Yom Tov is not a simple Los Asei. Now, Alan, you've been doing Daf Yomi, right? So you hit this all on Yavamos, no? The whole Asei Del Chalos Asei discussion with the Arayos.
Either I missed Daf Yomi over Yom Tov, so either it was then or we haven't come to it.
Got it. Yeah, no, it's there. Okay. So the Gemara says, so Yom Tov asei v'lo saseyu, v'ein asei docha es lo saseyu v'asei. He says Yom Tov is not only a lo saseyu of don't do malacha, it's also a mitzvah saseyu. The two are together. If you take a look at Rashi, asei v'lo saseyu.
One asei will doche alot asei, but two aseis don't.
No, the other way around. One asei will doche alot asei. One asei will not override a lot asei plus an asei.
Oh, sorry.
The asei is correct. Okay. If you take a look at Rashi, asei velot aseihu, if you see the thin lines and go down almost to the bottom of the thin lines, asei velot aseihu, if you see where the lines get wide and go up about 8, 9 lines, 10 lines. So he says, Dichsiv, the pasuk says, Bayom harishon shabason, dimashma, Shavuos, or perhaps Shavuos, it's an instruction. Create Shabbaton. So that is a mitzvah asei.
So the issue in Yavamos is you've got the erva versus the Yavam obligations.
Correct. And there's a discussion about the velos asei with kares and so on, yeah. So the Gemara's challenge is, you can't play the Aseh Docha Lo Saseh game here, because Yom Tov Aseh Velo Saseh, Uvein Aseh Doches Lo Saseh Va'aseh. So our idea was, you know why we mentioned Koi? Because we wanted to teach that when you have a Safek, we make a Gezerah of don't do this. Even though, if it was a Vada, we would say, go for it. And Aseh Docha Lo Saseh, for a Safek, we won't. But the Gemara now throws all that out, and it says, you know what, in the event that you did Katisha, you would have a serious problem, because we would not say Aseh Docha Lo Saseh. Because you have Yom Tov that you're dealing with. So we're back to our question of, so why did you mention Koi? Why didn't you just mention chicken? So the Gemara says, Elo Amar Rava, rather Rava says, if you see where the lines get wide and go up 6 lines, Rava says, because Efer Kira Daito Levadai Vein Daito Lesafek. Here is where we come to the issue of Kavana and Muktza. And he says, the ash in the oven was intended only for Vadai obligations. It was not intended, and here again we can say the dirt just as easily, was intended not for the doubtful cases, only for the cases that you know, yes, I'm obligated to do this.
But it shouldn't matter. I mean, if it was mukhan, or if it was intended, you could use it for other things normally.
Right. So you know what? So he has to be talking about not, correct. He has to be talking about not the multi-purpose situation. He has to be talking about literally the ash case, which is not available for just anything. It must be that it's a case of a material that you actually had to designate and say, this is going to be for use. And you don't have in mind to do that with the oven ash. That's his answer. We will see a dirt case right now, though. V'azda Rava l'tameh. When Rava says this, Rava fits his own position elsewhere. Da'ama Rava, where Rava says, Hichnis afar l'chasos botsoa, muter l'chasos bodam tzipor. If a person brings in dirt to cover tzoa, excrement, so he brought that into the house, that was the purpose of the dirt. He's allowed to use that also for kisei adam to cover the bird, right? Dam tzipor, aser l'chasos bo tzoa, but not the other way around. If he brought in the dirt specifically for kisei hadam for the bird, he may not now use it in order to cover the tzoa. The other way around, he's not able to do. That's Rava's statement. So in other words, what we're saying is, intention is not a blanket thing. You intend to use it for all purposes, but rather it's limited to the case you intended and anything that is directly similar to that. So Rava's statement is that Rava's statement here is that you only have Vadai obligations in mind, not Safek obligations. And similarly, in the sense of having a narrow focus, when it came to dirt brought into the house for different purposes, he said, having in mind that you're going to use it for a mitzvah means just for that mitzvah, not for the tzoa purpose. Tzoa can go from there to the mitzvah, but not
vice
versa. Why is
that going to go through the mitzvah?
Right, so the question of why, if you take a look at Rashi, he gives you an explanation. Rashi Asur L'chasos Bo Tzoa is on the first of the Y lines. Right? Im Yesh Lo Tino Katan V'Hitel Tzoa B'Yom Tov, if he has a little kid around and the kid makes a diaper, so we say you may not use it for the diaper. My time, a why? Dam Tzipor Vadai Hayalo She'yish Chetanu V'Yeh Tzarech Kisui. Because he knew, he was intending to shecht the chicken so that he would have it for dinner. So it was a given that this is what he was going to do. Aval hatzawa, safeku, but the tzawa, who knows? Im yara v'makom ha-mauslo, it's not clear to him that it's going to happen in a place where he's going to feel a need to cover it up. That's the idea. V'dayto levadai v'lo l'safek. So really, the distinction that's being drawn between tzoa and between tzoa and mitzvah is the same as the distinction between safek and vadai. Tzoa equals safek, mitzvah equals vadai. That's the idea.
So because there's a mitzvah vadai, now you can cover the tzoa. What's the?
No, because you brought it in, having in mind the safek, you can also use it for the vadai. I had in mind the tzoa, therefore I can use it for the mitzvah.
Where do you get the mitzvah? like, we're like more of the other concept of the mitzvah. What if he's interpreting this as a seth, one's a seth fake and one's a vadai?
Well, no, the case that he gave was l'chassus bo dam tzipor, that is mitzvah.
No, I realize it happens to be a mitzvah, but is it based on because of a mitzvah or because of the terminology of one is, you know you're going to shech versus you don't know if the baby's going to make a poop?
Right, no, it's the latter, it's suffik and vadai. But the suffik and vadai is analogous to our mitzvah discussion about koi versus, you know, vadai.
Right, but I'm just trying to understand whether the mitzvah concept has any...
No, it does not. It does not.
Okay, so mitzvah is not right.
Correct. It's not because kisui adam is a mitzvah and soa is just something you're doing to make the house nice.
So why in the first case, when he's bringing the soa for a suffik, okay, shechting an animal should be above that all the time, the chicken. So if he did not have in mind for the chicken, which should have been a vadai, why should
it would be the same? Correct. It would be in the same category as the tzala. The assumption here is, as Rashi is explaining it, that the tzipor case means a tzipor case where you knew you were intending to shech. Yeah.
Okay.
Correct.
The gans mishpacha coming.
Okay, so the first case is he knew he was going to use it for both, and the second case he only thought he was using it for the chicken.
Correct. Now, in truth, Rava is not the only player in this. Nahar Balai Amri, the people of Nahar Balai, Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin that it's Rami Bar Barebi or Rami Bar Baruchi, but the response that is brought to Rava is Afilu Hichnis Afar Lachasos Bo Dam Tzipor Muter Lachasos Bo Tzoa. What you're saying is not true. Even if it was brought in for a vadai, it is usable for a safek. So in other words, this is actually a machlokas. When I bring it in for a vadai, does it apply to safek or not? But our discussion, which saw fit to mention the koi, is taking the side of Rava and saying that that which is ready for vadai is not ready for safek. That's the idea. If you're having trouble tracking, just note that on your sheet, I brought you the first item, the four different approaches, so it's there.
Is the soa on yantif?
Yeah.
How's that simchus yantif?
What do you mean?
Baby poops, you want to cover it up so it doesn't...
Yeah, but that's not simchus yantif.
It's not about simchus yantif. It's not about simchus yantif. It's not about simchus yantif.
So why can I cover it up?
Why, you're allowed to?
Yeah.
Covered it real.
Why wouldn't you be allowed to? You have dirt that's ready. What's wrong with covering it up?
Yeah, but... Okay.
Well, malachas are violated.
But because it was... Okay.
So it's not even a mitzvah to cover.
It might be a mitzvah in general of like covering for people around you, that sort of thing. But it's a kind
that's
of.
That's why I'm kind of wondering if it's not a mitzvah, if it's available but not for a mitzvah, why are you allowed to use it?
Why shouldn't you be?
Because if it's for the tzipor, that's a mitzvah. That's a mitzvah. That's a mitzvah. Simple as that.
Yes.
This one's not a mitzvah.
But again, your dirt is ready to use.
Well, how can you compare
not everything
it?
Not it's not a matter of comparing it. It's a matter of simply saying, this is a mutter act. I'm allowed to pick up the glass, fill it with water, and drink. Also, that's not a mitzvah simchas yom tov.
So if I want to use that dirt for another purpose completely,
yeah, as long as it's within, as long as it's as it fits within the designation that I made, that's what he said. Yeah.
I want to take that dirt and just throw it out the door. No problem. I can use it for any purpose. It doesn't have to have
want
to any
cover,
legitimate
you cover your floor. Or something like that, you
know? Yeah. As long as they're not going to violate any serum with it, you know, bone or whatever. Yeah. So the Gemara then adds to this and says, Amri b'ma'arava, the first of the wide lines, in Eretz Yisrael, they said, Pligi b'Rabbi Yosi b'Rachama v'Rabbi Zera. They actually had a machlokes between Rabbi Yosef Barchama and Rabbi Zera, Barmi Rabba Braid Rabbi Yosef Barchama, Rabbi Zera, some debate as to who exactly is engaged in this machlokes, as to whether we should match up the suffake that is the koi with the suffake that is the tzoa. Maybe the two are not analogous for reasons that we're about to see. Chad amar koi harehu kitzoa. One said, yeah, the suffake for koi, where I know I'm going to shecht it, but I don't know if I need it, if I need kisui, is harayu kitsoa is like the shema. Maybe there's going to be tsoa. V'chad amar koi eino Tzoa. And the other one said, no, Koi is not the equivalent of Tzoa. And the reason why, if you take a look at Rashi, V'chad Amar Koi Eino Kitzoa, Rashi, the Dibra Maschil, is at the end of the line, and he starts at the beginning of the next. V'hamachnis afar l'chasos Tzoa osur l'chasos bo dam Koi. And therefore, if someone brought in dirt planning to use it for the Tzoa, he would not be able to use it for the Koi. Dekoi legabe tzoa kisafek legabe vadai. Maybe the argument would be that koi is a lesser case. There would be a hierarchy. There's vadai. There's tzoa. We don't know if it's going to happen. And then there's koi below that. Why? Ditzoas tino shchicha ukrova levadai. Because let's get real. You have a baby in the house. It's pretty much guaranteed that there's going to be a problematic diaper at some point. Yeah,
so then it's a vadai.
So that's what he's saying. He's saying it's close to vadai. It's not a vadai.
It's not 100%, right?
So he's willing to suggest maybe.
I need to send them.
It seems like twisted logic.
Sorry.
But the something.
I still can't see on the level of koi, which is simple yotif. I don't know how to get around that.
Because you're still dealing with the question of whether you're allowed to shecht it.
No, yeah.
And what we're dealing with now is whether you're allowed to use the dirt for it to cover it up. We're off, at least right now, of the question of the Simchas Yom Tov. But what he says is that's this. They
the
have this.
Also, you've already shucked it, though. Isn't that the same? It's the same issue. That hasn't gone away, has it?
Sorry?
You've already shucked it, the koi.
Well, the issue's gone away in the sense that you've got your Simchas Yom Tov regardless. At this point, you can eat.
Yeah, so you just don't cover it.
Yeah. So the Gemara says, Tistayim, we may conclude, we may argue, really, the Rava Huda Omar Koi Harayu Kitzoa, that Rava equates, Rava is the one in this debate who equates the Koi's Safek with the Shema of Tzoa. Why? The Omar Rava, because I know Rava said the following, Hichnis afar lachasos bo tzoa, mutar lachasos bo dam tzipor. If you brought in dirt to cover the tzoa, you are allowed to use it to cover the dam of the bird. But dam tzipor asur lachasos bo tzoa. If you brought it in for the bird, you're not allowed to use it for the tzoa. So Rava says that if you brought in the dirt for the tzoa, you are allowed to use it for the tzipor. So his argument is, how does that show that Rava is the one who says that koi is like tzoa? Rashi says, if you see Rashi, tistayim de Rava hu de amar tzoa kesafek, that tzoa is right is like the case of the doubt of the koi. The koi mutar bazmanas tzoa. Why? De amar Rava hichnis afar lachasos bo tzoa mutar lachasos bo dam tzipor. Because Rava says, if you brought in dirt to cover the tzoa, you may use it now for the tzipor. You can go from safek to vadai, but dam tzipor asur lachasos bo tzoa. But if you brought it in for the bird, you may not use it for the tzoa. So as Rashi says, alma safek. In other words, what the Gemara is doing is effectively denying the three-tiered structure. It's saying that once you tell me that having brought it in for tzipor, I may not use it for tzoa. That means we're saying that tzoa is on a low level, which we are going to assume is equivalent to the koi's safek. That there isn't really a three-level system. It really is a two-level system.
Okay, so look at Kila.
Yeah.
Okay, if you brought in for the tzoa, and now you're assigned to chef the bird, where you do not bring any afar designated for the bird. You only have the afar that's designated for the tzoa.
Yes.
Does that mean lechachila you could shecht the hub based on this?
Why not?
I'm asking.
I believe so.
Okay, so it's not after the fact that you shecht it, you can use this
correct
dirt. This is lechachila, you can
yes
shecht and do it.
You have the materials there.
Even though you did not have a mind for that material to be used for a bird.
Correct, because by having a suffix in mind, that includes having the vada in mind.
Okay.
That's the idea. So that's all Rava's approach. That's the third of our four, and that's not rejected. The Gemara accepts that idea. That the you had the koi here in order to teach me that when your case is a doubt, then you're not able to use that which was brought in for avadai. The Gemara, having had that third, frankly, successful answer, is not satisfied because we have a fourth possibility. Rami Breder of Yeva Omar, Koi, Hainu Taima Dolom Chasinon. He says, I'll tell you why you don't cover the Koi. And he says something that is entirely orthogonal to the entire conversation. He's going to shoot off in an entirely different direction, having nothing to do with anything you've seen so far. He says, I have a different problem. Even if you have dirt ready, and the dirt is ready for all uses, it could have a big sign on it saying, dirt for covering Koi Shechita. Okay? So there's no doubt that it's ready. Nonetheless, I am telling you not to shecht this on Yom Tov, and if you shechted it, I am not allowing you to do Kisui Hadam. Why? Gezeira Mishum Hataras Chelba. Because people are going to think, if they see you covering the Dam on Yom Tov, they're going to think, oh, this must be something that really requires Kisui Hadam, or you wouldn't be doing this on Yom Tov. This must be a Chaya. Who cares? Well, there's another halacha in which we distinguish between chaya and behema, and that is chaylev. Right? The forbidden fat of a behema is mutter in a chaya. So the concern is that people will then, having seen you kisui adam, they're going to think chaylev is mutter from a koi. That's the concern.
But it might be mutter if it's a chaya.
But we don't know.
So because it's a sapphic, they don't eat the chaylev?
Correct.
The
koi? Correct. But then the Gemara says, well, why Yom Tov? That's a question all the time. Yachi, if so, afilu b'chol nami. Why aren't you concerned during the week too? To which he says, b'chol amri lenakir chatzero huditzarech. During the week, people will just say he wanted to clean up his yard. He didn't like having blood lying around.
He didn't want
blood lying around, you know. So the Gemara says, well, what about shachat ba'ashpa ma'ikalamimer? What if he shechted it out in a trashy area, the area where that he's not concerned about cleanliness? Or Bali Malich Ma'ikala Meimar. Or what about where the fellow comes to ask us, what should I do? Meaning, the guy has a koi. He comes to the Chachamim and he says, do I do Kisui Hadam or not? They're going to tell him, yes, koi requires Kisui Hadam. He is going to assume, therefore, that koi is a chaya. So the Gemara says, Ella, Bechol, Inami Misapka, Amri Le Rabbanan, Zil Trach Uksi. He says, no, the reason why we're not worried about it during the week is because during the week, covering the dam is not a big deal. Covering dam is not, we assume, a very difficult thing to do. And during the week, when you see somebody cover the dam, you might look at it and say, okay, he's covering the dam. It wasn't a hard thing to do. So the rabbi said, we don't know what the status is, so therefore we're telling you to cover it. Whereas, if it's Yom Tov, we wouldn't assume that they told you to cover it because of doubt, because it's Yom Tov. You're not supposed to be engaged in this sort of thing. And therefore, the fact that he covers it on Yom Tov tells people that this is actually a chaya and could mislead people. So, Rami Breder of Yeva goes off in an entirely different direction. He says it has nothing to do with the eligibility of the dirt whatsoever. What it has to do with is, we don't want you covering the koi. So when you read that brisa, and the brisa brings in the koi case, it's there to teach me, we don't want you covering the dam of a koi on Yom Tov. Okay. I wanted to go back just to bring in 2 points on this Asei Docha Lo Sase. We said, we invoked the rule of Be'idna to say that it can't be a case of Asei Docha Lo Sase for Kitisha. We said that it's not called Asei Docha Lo Sase because you're not doing the Asei and the Lo Sase at the same time. Right? Killing the Asei and violating the Lo Sase at the same time. So the practical application of this is Chametz found during Yom Tov. In source base, I brought you the line from the Shulchan Aruch. Hamotze Chametz Beveso. Person finds Chametz in his house. Imu b'chol ha-moed, yotzienu v'yivarenu miyad. So if you find chametz in your house on Chol HaMoed, take it out and destroy it. V'imu Yom Tov, what do you do if it's Yom Tov? So the Mechaber writes, yichfe olav kli ad halayla v'oz yivarenu. He says, overturn a kli on top of it until that night and then destroy it. And the Ramah explains in parentheses, we assume it's the Ramah, l'fisha lo yuchal atal t'lo b'yom tov, because you can't move the chametz on Yom Tov, and gam l'sarfu b'mekomo aser, and burning it where it is aser. Also, because it's not burning l'tzarech, that's a whole discussion in its own right. But that's the Shulchan Aruch, so we're familiar with this. You find chametz on Yom Tov, overturn a kli on top of it to keep people from eating it by accident. You find it on Yom Tov, then you just destroy it. So the Magen Avraham on this, right below, says the following: when you say lo yuchal ataltalo, that you can't move the chametz on Yom Tov, why not? Dimuktzahu, because it's muktzah. Da'aser bahana, because you're not allowed to benefit from the chametz. Ve'af agav shalohaya bichlal habitol, and even if it was not in your bitol, in other words, you own bona fide violation of de'oraisa chametz on Yom Tov, right?
Yep.
Because your bittul didn't apply. Why wouldn't your bittul have applied? Kigon shnis chametz b'yom tov. Let's say it wasn't chametz at the time of your bittul. It was flour, and then it was exposed to water, and it became chametz afterwards. Vovra b'yera de'oraisa. Now you're in violation of biblical law. Umukza havi rak derabanan, right? Mukza is only derabanan. So how is it that we're telling you not to destroy it? You should say, asei do chalos asei. So he says, kevan d'sheval tasehu asruhu. Since it's a sheva pasa, they're telling you just don't do. That's why they said don't destroy it. The kaven de ritzono haya levaro elisha chacham masru eino over all of the onesu. And the truth is, he's really an ones because the chachamim are not letting him. They're not allowing him to do this. So don't worry so much.
Is there a difference in the rules between nolad and muksa? Because I know it's saying muksa here, but this is nolad.
Why is it nolad?
It didn't exist before.
Sure, it exists.
It was based on.
Yeah, but it existed. Yeah. The flower
it
existed.
It's not
called. No, it's chametz. That's not called nolad.
It's not a qualitative change.
We did discuss nolad and muksa in the very beginning, but the randav ches. So that's, you know, too long ago. But the but this isn't nolad. So the Gemara then says the Ma'aram tirates. The Ma'aram gave a different explanation.
Sorry, so how does he explain that? What's the reason you can't
destroy the chametz?
Yeah.
Because he says it's a sheva tasa. The chamer are allowed to tell you don't fulfill your mitzvah by via sheva tasa. And by the way, once chamer tell you that, it's ones anyway.
But it's also a
loy sase.
Why?
In
some ways,
it's a chamer. He didn't say I say the ochalos sase.
No, I'm just saying you usually a sheva tasa is usually by. You don't do shofar on
Aseh,
right?
Yes, because we think of Sheva al-Taseh, correct,
right.
as don't do an Aseh.
Right.
This is Sheva
on a
Los
Aseh?
Well, that's because this is an odd Los Aseh. Because your Los Aseh is violated without doing anything, by just owning chametz. It's an odd Los Aseh, and it lends
itself. Is there an
Aseh of Tashbisu. Yes, there is an asay of Tashbisu. Whether Tashbisu still applies after the initial time is a good question. But we're assuming yes, because that's what launched his whole question of asay do chalos asay. Right? Yes, why don't we say that my mitzvah is asay of Tashbisu?
Well, it's an asay and a los asay.
So. Even better. He then says, v'ham'aram tiraiz delo sharu l'taltel k'dei l'varo. Mishum de beidan de metaltale adayim lo mekayim mitzvah sazeh de tashbisu ad sh'as havara. He says the Ma'aram's answer is a different answer. The Ma'aram's answer is like our Gemara. Because you're violating your lo sazeh by picking it up. That's not the moment that you've destroyed it. So therefore you don't fulfill your asay at the same moment as you violate your lo sazeh. You follow?
If you picked it up and threw it in the fire.
Yes, that's the logical question. But but that's the way he's framing the case. He continues though. He says the kachkas of Haran gabe shofar. The Ran has the same point regarding shofar. They're talking about it's the Gemara at the end of Rosh Hashanah. It's not so Rosh Hashanah. The ein mefakchin all of us hagal. You're not allowed to overturn a ruin that collapsed on top of a shofar. We're assuming that overturning the stuff in the ruin is a losaseh, and you have an asay of shofar. You're not allowed to overturn the ruin in order to get the shofar. Why? My time, huh? Shofar asay, v'yom tov los asay va'asay. So the answer we give is because shofar is a mitzvah asay, yom tov is a los asay and an asay, ve'in asay docha los asay va'asay.
What's the asay?
For yom tov, don't do malacha and shabbatel, the same one that we said in our Gemara here. So he says that's why shofar doesn't override. The kevin dimi de oraisa lo dachi, and since biblically does not override. Who I think the Muktzah Derab or wouldn't override the Araisa. Who I think the Muktzah Derabanan, the same thing will apply for the Derabanan's Muktzah of the Gal of this ruin. The Dasu Chizuk LeDibrayim Kishal Torah. So that's the Ran. The Ran says that the reason why you don't overturn the ruin is because it's Asay versus Asay and Los Asay. The Hiksha Shama Shiboli Aleket. The Shiboli Aleket challenges that statement of the Ran. Matzarech Lomar the Yom Tov Asay Velos Asayu. Why did you need to say that Yom Tov is an Asay and a Los Asay? Hafilu Los Asay Luchudinami Lodach. He came into Be'id in the Me'akar Lav Lo Mekayim Asay. He says, why do you need to say Yom Tov is Asay versus Asay and Los Asay? It's also a Be'idna argument. At the moment that you overturn the ruin, you're not fulfilling Shofar. So why do you even need to give that other answer? So the Tirei Rebbeinu Tam, Da'asei D'Rabim Dochi Lo Sasei Av Hagav De'Be'inu D'Me'akar Lav Lo Mekayim Asei. So he gives you a very interesting answer. He says, this rule that we've defined, that Asei Docha Lo Sasei requires that you fulfill the Asei at the moment that you override the Lo Sasei, it's not such a hard and fast rule. It can be overridden. Such as for Shofar. Because we assume that Shofar is done communally. That's a given. And therefore, this is Asay Derabim. It's a public mitzvah Asay. And therefore, it may be strong enough to override a Los Asay, even if you're not doing that simultaneously. That's what he suggests.
Is there an example besides Shofar? Okay.
By the way, when I said this is Rabbeinu Tam, that was an instinctive translation of Reish Taf. But Rabbeinu Tam cannot answer the Shiboli Aleket. Rabbeinu Tam lives a generation earlier.
Oh, yeah.
But in any case, sorry, Gerard, you were saying?
What do you mean a generation?
Rabbeinu Tam passes away before the Shiboli Aleket is born.
So why can't he quote the Shiboli Aleket? Why can't the Shiboli Aleket quote?
No, the other way, that works. He has Hikshasham Shiboli Aleket, the T-rate's Reish Taf. Reish Taf can't be Rabbeinu Tam.
Maybe he means that Shiboli Aleket brings down the Rabbeinu Tam as a...
Maybe that's not what... It doesn't sound like it, but theoretically,
that's absurd.
Is this the only example of a communal derisive as a is not Behidna as right?
I mean, we could probably come up with another one.
It's a tremendous Kiddush, though. I mean, right. I think about it, you know, you've got this mitzvah, and you got a derisive and a rabbana, and you don't accomplish the derisive. I mean, I know Shabbos is also the...
See, the chiddush that I see is that this mitzvah derabim is going to overturn a gemara principle. The principle of the idna was in our gemara. Who gave you the right to overturn it for mitzvah derabim? But we have precedent for that. Mitzvah derabim is invoked in situations like the talk about the problem of mitzvah above
Avera. It's a much more serious issue, though. If the rabbanan basically say prohibit an entire kehillah from doing a mitzvah derabim as opposed to one individual.
Right.
It's huge.
No, that's true. But we have precedent for it. We have precedent for it in the case of Rabbi Eliezer freeing the Eved to make a minion, and well, that's mitzvah, yeah, there, it's a mitzvah of Avera, and the answer is, yeah, but it's mitzvah derabim. Like we have such ideas elsewhere. The last piece that I was just going to bring, but I'll say it outside of it, is the Rashba's point. The Rashba asks, if you're willing to say Asay Docha Lo Sasay, then why don't we tell the guy, Shecht without the dirt available. There's no Isser in the Shechita itself, as we've already discussed.
The Koi you're talking about?
Shecht whatever you like.
Okay.
And then dig in order to cover it, because you're digging, you're violating a Lo Sasay, to fulfill the Asay. Once you believe in Asay Docha Lo Sasay,
I thought it had to be Idna, and this is not an example of...
Right, so
you just wait till after Yontif and then cover it.
Sorry? Mm-hmm. You could wait till after Yontif and then cover it. Well, that was the question that we asked originally. Right. We said, Chaviva Mitzvah B'Shaita.
Right.
But the Rashba doesn't give us the answer of the Idna. The Rashba gives a different answer. The Rashba says, because I don't want you doing things intending to sin. In other words, what you're doing here is you're setting yourself up for it. The language that I used here in the and that I bolded in the Rashba was kimiskave levate losa.
Does that mean that asay doche lo tase is b'di'evid not l'chatchila?
Correct. You're stuck in a situation, that's a rule that we apply. But we don't walk into the situation.
The Rashba seems to imply then that if you did check the koi, that you can cover it, you should be able to cover it.
Well, then he's not dealing with a koi, he's dealing with a vadai. He's dealing with a vadai case. He's not going to go against the Gemara's case. But he brings you proof from the Gemara in Erev in Samach Zayin, where they talk about a kid having a bris, and they had hot water available to wash the kid afterwards, and they felt this was a requirement, such that without hot water you won't do the bris. So the question that he asks is, so why not do the bris, and then you'll have a chiyuv to heat up the water. So the answer is, you're not allowed to put yourself in situations like that. That's the point.
So you heat up the water before?
Well, you don't do the bris.
You don't do the bris?
You don't have hot water, you don't do the bris. Wait till the next day. Yeah. Good. All right, we'll pick up with that next week.
Don't do it.
Yeah.